Hey everyone, welcome into another Pipeline podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Jonathan Mayo and Jim Callis of MLBpipeline.com. We're going to get the guys' picks for Rookie of the Year in the American and National League. We're also going to look towards the postseason and who some of the big rookies are that are going to have a chance to really shine in October for their teams. Let's start though with the Rookie of the Year discussion, and I guess we'll start, guys, in the National League, where the winner is a little less dramatic, and we'll save the American League for second. But I'll start with you, Jim. If you had a vote in the American in the National League, top three National League Rookie of the Year, who are you going with?
Well, the exciting thing is that our own Jonathan Mayo actually does have a vote. So he did vote on this. But I would take, I mean, Corey Seager is the obvious number one pick. And I think if not for Chris Bryant, Corey Seager might have been the MVP this year. I mean, having an unbelievable year, came into the year as the number one prospect in baseball. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. I mean, I'm not surprised he's going to be Rookie of the Year. I am surprised maybe a little bit that he's been this good right off the bat. I mean, he's going to wind up, you know, hitting over 300 and got 26 homers right now. You know, I guess he exceeded my expectations for this year just a little bit with how good he's been. Second, you know, it's interesting because after him, I think it's a little bit more jumbled, and then there's a lot of candidates, especially compared to the American League, where I don't think there's nearly as many candidates. I would go with Kenta Maeda of the Dodgers. I just think, you know, in a rotation that's been injured, riddled with injuries, he's stayed healthy all year long and been very consistent from start to finish. So I would give him my second-place vote. And then I am torn between Trey Turner and Aledmys Diaz as my third-place vote. And I think I will give the nod to Trey Turner. Aledmys Diaz played a little bit more, but Trey Turner's been a little bit more spectacular. And I'm not going to punish him for the Nationals not calling him up earlier. And in picking those two guys, I mean, you could also pick Trevor Story, but I'm going to stick with Trey Turner as my number three. Would have been interesting if Trevor Story hadn't gotten hurt. Might have wound up with about 40 home runs, and he might have pushed Seager for the award.
All right, Jonathan, and then as Jim said, you actually get to vote in this thing, so I guess you're giving away your vote here. Who you got? One, two, and three, and I'm sure one is kind of.
Well, I'm gonna tap dance around a little bit because I was specifically told that I am not allowed to reveal.
Oh, okay.
How I voted? I liked and considered all three of those guys that Jim mentioned. It is interesting, you know, Trevor Story. Who's somebody I also looked at, actually his OPS is higher than Seager's. You know, not saying that he deserves a nod over Seager. I'm just, you know, as I was, you know, researching these guys a little bit more fully, that was something that stood out to me a little bit. There were a lot of rookies who had good years. You know, Brandon Drury had a solid year. You know, I mean, things like that. Couple other pitchers that I think were worth looking at, you know, along with Maeda, O from St. Louis, closing games for the Cardinals was a guy who fell in that same sort of vote. And I struggled philosophically because personally I don't think veterans that come from leagues like Japan should be considered for Rookie of the Year. However, the rule states that they are, so I did. And then, the guy that I sort of was tempted, but didn't quite go, it was Junior Guerra, just because the story is unbelievable. The guy's 31 and is having his rookie year and has had a very, very good year. Now, I would put Maeda ahead of him, but he was a guy that certainly was worthy of at least consideration for a vote.
That was solid tap dancing all the
way
around.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's switch to the American League, and I'll start with you there, Jonathan, and you don't have a vote there, so you don't have to tap dance. But one, two, and three in the American League, which is, I think, a much more interesting race for number one as opposed to the NL, where the race was kind of for second and third and fourth. But the AL, with the surge of Gary Sanchez, has made it really interesting.
It has. It has, and, you know, he's only played, what, 49 games? So I'm not sure what to do with him. I think that if I were voting in the American League, even though he's struggled down the stretch a little bit, I think Michael Fulmer would probably go in my top spot. And this is a guy who's competed for the ERA title, has really come to the front of the Tigers rotation, somewhat surprisingly, considering that people weren't even sure if he was going to remain a starter, let alone, you know, toss 155 innings and change as he has. So he's probably the guy that would get my first vote. I think Sanchez might get my second, although again, that's the lack of playing time does make me pause, but what he's done in that playing time is insane. Kind of mixed in with the guys that I would consider, and Nomar Mazara is definitely a guy who I would probably put somewhere in my top three. I think what I'll end up doing is I will go Fulmer, Sanchez, Mazara.
I like that list. Good stuff. All right, Jim, how about you?
Yeah, I would go Fulmer number one. I mean, if he pitches 6 1/3 innings tonight and doesn't get crushed, he's going to lead the American League in ERA as a rookie. And I think that full season excellence would give him the nod over Gary Sanchez for me. I would put Gary Sanchez too. Even though he's only played about a third of the season, he's tied for the American League rookie lead in home runs right now, 20 with Nomar Mazara. You know, and then for my third spot, I mean, Nomar Mazara's hit 20 home runs. The rest of the numbers are just, I mean, he's very young, and I think he's going to be a superstar, but they're just kind of okay. I think I would actually go with Ryan Healy, who played about a half season, but has won the highest ops among rookies in the American League. I think I would be tempted to go Ryan Healy 3, because I think he's been very, very good in half a season, as opposed to Nomar Mazara, who has been, yeah, hey, he filled a hole. He's done everything, you know, this guy didn't even turn 21 until the season started. But, you know, 750 ops in Arlington isn't, you know, it's just kind of an okay year, you know, taking his rookiness and age aside. So I would go with Ryan Healy as my third place vote over Nomar Mazara.
Mazara gives us kind of an easy transition into our other big topic for the day, which is rookies who could have an impact in the postseason. And guys, I'm going to stay away from the teams that are battling for those wild card spots, because those battles aren't going to be decided until the weekend. But as far as your division leaders, we have 5 division champs already, and the Red Sox look like it's just a matter of time as far as the American League East. So when we look at those 6 clubs, they all have some important rookies. And let's start in the American League West, and let's start with Texas. What can Nomar Mazara, how much do the Rangers depend on Nomar Mazara in the postseason? I'll start with you, Jonathan.
Well, I mean, I think they depend on him as much as they have all year, you know, just to be an influence in their lineup. He doesn't have to carry them offensively. I mean, they have other weapons. They didn't win the division because Nomar Mazara was, you know, hitting in the middle of their lineup. The places where he's been exposed, they, you know, come from plate discipline and patience. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles the extra pressure of the postseason for a guy who's already a bit of a free swinger. So, you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on him in terms of what he's going to have to do. But, you know, of the rookies that have contributed to the Rangers, he is the one who will obviously have the greatest impact.
And I will actually play devil's advocate and say that might not be true, because, you know, I think definitely surprising me and probably surprising a lot of people, Matt Bush has become one of the most important relievers on that club. And it's very possible you could see Matt Bush had a very, very good rookie season pitching the 8th inning in high leverage situations for the Rangers. I mean, the nice thing I think with Mazara is, unlike some of the other rookies we'll discuss, you know, he's not being asked to lead that Rangers offense. I mean, they've got you know, Adrian Beltre and, you know, Ruffner Odor has got 31 homers, and Mitch Moreland and Ian Desmond have hit home runs, and, you know, they've, you know, it's a pretty deep lineup, whereas Matt Bush might wind up being called upon to get some very, very crucial outs in some late inning situations for the Rangers. So, you know, keep an eye on Matt Bush too. I think they've got two rookies who are going to have a lot to do with how well the Rangers or how far the Rangers go in this postseason.
We'll stick in the American League, move over to the Central and the Indians. And Michael Brantley is supposed to be the best player on this Indians team, but he wasn't really a factor in 2016 because of all the injuries. And that opened the door up a little bit for Tyler Naquin, who obviously came through and had a tremendous start to his go. Jim, did he perform better than you thought he would at this point in his career because he got called up a little early?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the one thing, I've never been the biggest Tyler Naquin fan in the world in terms of when we're ranking prospects. The thing that surprised me this year, and I'm still not, I guess, 100% convinced it's real, is he hit for more power than I expected. You know, 14 homers and 350 plate appearances. I would not have, you know, I saw him as kind of a 15 home run guy if he played every day. So I think that's been, you know, the surprise for me. I mean, we knew he could play defense. We knew he could hit for average. You know, he's obviously a rookie who, you know, it seems like their outfield's constantly shifting. That seems like it's ever changing. As you mentioned, I mean, Brantley, they got next to nothing out of him this year. And then I think the other rookie who could wind up playing a role because of injuries is Mike Clevinger. I mean, their rotation. Even Corey Kluber is being counted on as one of the healthy guys. Just had an MRI the other day, and Carrasco's hurt, and Salazar's hurt, and Mike Clevinger could wind up pitching some crucial innings. You know, hasn't had great rookie numbers, but they might need him to make some starts in the postseason.
Jonathan,
I was going to add Clevinger if Jim didn't, and I think just because of the injury situation, he may have the largest impact, positively or negatively, just because of the need. You know, if Kluber can't go, then you're looking at Trevor Bauer as your number one starter. I mean, so you're going Bauer, probably Josh Tomlin, and then Mike Clevinger pitching game three. You know, so, and if he doesn't pitch game three, then, you know, it's going to be game four if Kluber can pitch, you know, unless they have to rejigger things. So, Naquin has been huge in terms of filling that hole, and has been better all-around player than even those of us who don't loathe him thought. But I think because of how decimated that staff has been by injuries, Clevinger is the rookie who might be called upon to do the most.
In Boston, Jonathan, Andrew Benintendi obviously gave this team a spark, but then he got hurt, and he's come back now, and he's still been good. But there's a lot of different players that the Red Sox can use in different spots. So Benintendi's playing time isn't a guarantee, but I would think he's going to get enough time in the postseason to make his mark.
Oh, without question, I think that is the case. And he's definitely the rookie who's there who will have the largest impact. It might be, you know, the rookie who's, you know, most definitely on the playoff roster. Even if he's not in the lineup every day, I think you'll see him at some point. Yeah, get a chance to swing the bat, play defense. Because one of the things that makes him stand out is because he has the ability to impact the game in a number of ways. So even if he doesn't start and he comes into a game late, he can do something defensively. He can run. He can turn on a pitch and hit it out. So, you know, he would probably be on my short list of rookies, period, who, you know, anywhere, who could have a large postseason impact.
Well, and I think he's going to play too, guys. I mean, the way they've used him since he's come back from the injury, I think he's going to be the left fielder against right-handers, and Chris Young will play against left-handers. So he's going to get playing time, and it seems like he's almost incapable of playing a game without hitting a double. It seems like every time I watch a Red Sox game, Benintendi hits at least a double. And I saw him hit a home run the other night against the Orioles. He got out of the park in about a second and a half. He just has incredible bat speed. Only other rookie, I think, who's a fairly good bet to make the playoff roster, but it wouldn't be a huge role, would be Heath Hembree coming out of the bullpen for them.
All right, let's switch over to the National League, and we'll head out west again. Obviously, Corey Seager isn't just someone who's going to contribute for the Dodgers, but he's maybe the force behind that Dodgers lineup. Any concerns about just the pressure on Seager? He was there a little bit last year, though.
Yeah, I mean, he played in the postseason last year, and I mean, went 3-for-16. I mean, it's a small sample size, but I mean, he played every day. I don't think so. I mean, I just think I do think the playoff experience thing gets overrated a little bit. I mean, it's something to write about and talk about, but you know, for the most part, you know, I mean, yes, you're playing better competition, but you know, baseball's baseball. You know, Corey Seager, gifted young hitter. You know, there's pressure down the stretch too when they were trying to win the NL West, and he's continued to perform. And I don't think he, you know, I'd be surprised if he felt pressure. And you know, the Dodgers, you know, if we were, and we're not, if we were listing the top 10 rookies in the postseason on these division winners, the Dodgers would have all kinds of rookies, because I think Maeda, you know, we were just talking about the Indians. I mean, this is a rotation that's a mess right now, injury-wise, but Kenta Maeda is very important to them. And after all the talk about how young he was and the innings limits for Julio Urias, there's now talk that Julio Urias, after they put him in the bullpen and said, okay, he's pitched enough innings, we're just going to keep him, very, you know, keep an eye on him, and we'll use him a little bit out of the bullpen. It looks like Julio Urias is going to be their Game 4 starter in the playoffs, because they really don't have any other options they want to turn to. And if they did turn to other options, it would probably be a rookie, either Ross Stripling or Jose De Leon or Brock Stewart. So I think we're going to see lots of rookie starters in the rotation for the Dodgers in addition to Corey Seager.
And Jonathan, maybe they make a bit, not a bigger impact, but could be more key for the Dodgers, because you know what you're getting from Seager. Maybe you're not sure about the pitching. It's a little less short of a sure thing.
Right, and, you know, Seager could go 1-for-18, and that wouldn't necessarily sink the Dodgers' ship. But if they're relying on a couple of rookie starters and they're terrible, then the negative impact is in a short series is much larger. It'll be very interesting to see who they hand the ball to in some of those starts, given the holes in the rotation. I mean, in some ways, it's a little remarkable that the Dodgers, you know, won the NL West going away with all the injuries they've had in the rotation. A lot of that is a testament to, you know, their ability to fill those holes with some of these rookie pitchers.
All right, in the Central, obviously a year ago, this would have been maybe more interesting as far as the Cubs and rookies go, but still, Wilson Contreras, a big part of this team, and the Cubs still have that youth and some rookies that'll play a big role for the team with the best record in baseball, Jonathan.
Yeah, and Contreras is the big one, because I think they brought him up and we're going to try to bring him along a little more slowly, but he has worked his way into being the primary catcher now. I think they're going to carry three catchers, at least in the NLDS, because of how young and inexperienced he is. You know, to go with Contreras and then David Ross, who's on the, you know, the other side of that ledger as the two catchers. I think they'll probably have Montero there as well, at least for that opening round. But Contreras has the ability to impact the game offensively, unlike many other catchers right now. So, you know, for the Cubs, you're right. You know, last year was that year that they exceeded expectations and they had all these young guys, and not that they're grizzled veterans, but they don't have other guys who are really impact rookies in the way that they were relying on them so much in 2015.
Jim?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely true. I mean, what Jonathan said about their catching situation is very accurate. And then it's just a matter of how they decide to put that roster together. I don't think Albert Almora is necessarily going to make the playoff roster. I think he might be the next position player, you know, probably the first position player left off, you know, next one up if somebody got hurt. Now, on the pitching side of things, you know, they've got a number of bullpen options. You know, Carl Edwards, possible. Zastrzyzny, there we go, possible, but I don't think either one of those guys is a lock. So it's conceivable that Wilson Contreras might be the only rookie on that playoff roster when they figure out who's going to go on there.
Then finally, guys, the Washington Nationals are a team that's gotten a big lift from some rookie pitchers along the way. But really the biggest guy when you talk about rookies has obviously been Trey Turner since settling in center field. He's been quite an addition to the lineup. Jim, how important is he to their lineup in the playoffs, especially now that you don't have Wilson Ramos?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's very important. I mean, we talked, it seemed like, all summer, why hasn't this guy been called up earlier? And, I mean, like we said about Corey Seager, I knew Trey Turner was very good, and I liked him a lot. I wouldn't have thought he was going to hit 340 and slug 560 in his big league debut. But, well above average runner. It's game, it can be game-changing speed. I mean, he's not like a little slappy guy. He's got legitimate power. I think, especially with Bryce Harper banged up. I mean, what kind of odds could we have gotten beginning of the year if we said, okay, who's going to have the higher slugging percentage by more than 100 points, Trey Turner or Bryce Harper? I think we all would have probably picked Bryce Harper. I mean, I think we probably would have gotten pretty good odds on Trey Turner. But, no, I mean, he's been, their best hitter for much of the second half, him and Daniel Murphy. So I think he's very important, obviously, to that team. And, speaking of rookies, you mentioned Ramos getting hurt. I mean, I don't think he's going to start, and I don't know if he'll make the playoff roster. But, Spencer Keyboom or Pedro Severino, who is up already, one of those guys is going to make the playoff roster, and theoretically could be a better option than Jose Lopetón. So they could be going with a rookie. They could have a rookie catcher in their lineup, at some point during the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, one of those rookie catchers is going to be on the roster. If I had to guess, it'd be Severino. That's just a guess. And I'll lean on Lobaton, but, catchers get hurt. So those guys could have a huge impact. I agree. I mean, I think if I were making just a list of rookies who will impact the playoffs the most, or have the chance to, however you want to phrase it, Trey Turner would be number one on my list. So, I think that just because he can do so many different things to impact the game. And then the one other guy, and I was just double-checking, it was if Sammy Solis was still a rookie starting at the beginning of this year, because I honestly don't remember. Either of you remember?
I don't.
I got it for you right here. I thought you were going to give us the answer. Yes, he is still a rookie.
Yeah, okay, so he was still that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. He had really turned himself into an incredibly important bullpen piece as a guy who not only is good against lefties, but can get other guys out as well. And he just came off of the disabled list not that long ago. And I think that his ability to get left-handers out could be a kind of an unsung hero kind of rookie if the Nationals are going to go deep.
All right, great stuff, guys. As always, a look at the rookies who are going to really be big factors in October. We also checked out some of the best Rookie of the Year candidates, according to Jonathan and Jim. This has been the Pipeline Podcast. For Jim Callison, Jonathan Mayo of MLBPipeline.com, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.